If we win, I'm reading the paper in the cafe. If we lose, I'm in a dark room for probably 12 hours.
Just seeing pictures of myself places I hadn't seen them before, that at times made me a bit edgy.
We don't want to be known for a group that just loses, so we're not accepting losing.
I giggle at some of these comments from the experts and they don't really know what's going on.
I think people can really see the way that we want to play because we think that it works and stacks up.
It's great fun. When you're winning, not when you miss goals after the siren. That's
your ticket into the heart of football. Welcome to the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
Great to have your company on the Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum. Thanks to Prosper. Get approval on your business loan in hours, not days. Go to prosper.com. That's PROSPA.com. Max Gawn is with us. Big Max, good morning.
Good morning, boys. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you on board. Weekend off for you, a couple of days off. What'd you do? Freshen up?
Yeah, and I'll say sorry in advance. If you ask me any general football questions, I did not watch 1 minute, so I won't be able to help.
Right, yeah.
I went to Sydney for all four of the days. A little bit left field. Not many people just go to a city. They more go to the sunny beaches, but stayed in Bondi and had a pretty good time.
So how'd you break your week up? Some clubs like to get the team back in, do the review, flog them to death, send them 4 days, or the other way around, you had your rest early in the week?
Well, because we got a Friday night game this week, so which means we had to be back by Sunday. So we had the review straight away straight after the game on the Monday.
Straight after the game.
Yeah. And then Tuesday we had a sort of a clinics day. That's the day they like to stick a primary school visits in and whatnot, which was good. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday off.
Who cuts the vision straight after the game? That's a good effort.
Yeah, we had about half an hour of recovery and then we come back in. So
wow.
The coach just sat in there for half an hour. We've done it twice. The first time was after a win, so that was a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But this one, it was good.
A few cans after the win, a bit of skylarking.
Funny, I did go to Sydney and watch a bit of the NRL. It's amazing that straight after the game, they've all got a beer in the circle. It's something that's gone out of football, but yeah. NRL is still holding us proud.
We can start a campaign to get it back, mate, if you like.
I might just see what it's like. Just get a can open in the middle of it.
Beer in a jaffle. There you go.
We got to talk jaffles again.
We're always talking jaffles.
What was it like doing a review straight after a game? Like, was it different because the coaches don't have the time to get all the vision ready and all that sort of thing? Like, was it a shorter version? Was it a better version?
It's probably a more emotional version.
Yeah.
So there's definitely emotions from the players and coaches that haven't been able to have a bottle of red and sleep on or whatnot. So it's still quite vocal. And the good thing was it was the mid-season review as well. And sometimes you can take in potentially just the Collingwood game and just talk about the Collingwood game. But you got to look at the bigger picture and we're 8-4 and we did win six in a row there. And so you can't. Obviously, it's not all bad news going into the bye, but we managed to finish on a good note in the review and we're all relatively positive for this week.
We haven't seen you since. What did you take out of the Collingwood game?
I knew Collingwood was going to be a pretty hard team to play and some incredible speed and some really good midfielders and they got the jump on us again like they have the last couple of times we played them and we just never brought that margin back. I think it stayed there for the whole game, so a bit disappointing, but we learned a few things and hopefully we can bring it against Port Adelaide this week.
You talk about the mid-season analysis you had after the game. Johnny Ralph's got one of those in the Herald Sun today. He's given you an A-. Where is that about right for where your expectations were at the start of the season? Are you an A-, or are you above or below that, do you reckon, just personally?
Anything of an A is more than we normally get. normally I see an F there. so we're progressing. I'm not sure where we should have been, but we're 8-4 and after a pretty disappointing start, we're losing to Hawthorn and Richmond, getting spanked by Hawthorn and Richmond. It's probably somewhere that I didn't think we'd probably be. So to get there is good. We got a relatively hard part of the draw, especially these next sort of 4 or 5 weeks. So starting with Port at Adelaide Oval on Friday night. So it's going to be exciting.
Were those losses against Adelaide and Hawthorn brought up in the mid-season review and as maybe a catalyst to get you to where you are now, 8-4, which is a really handy position, just by the way. Were they mentioned in the review?
Because we did win 6 in a row from there.
Yeah.
If you want to put a negative part on a review, which you have to look at both sides, you have to go back to those two games because they're our last two losses. So They're always brought up as more than the Geelong game in round one because that one's further past.
Yep.
But you go to your most recent losses and that's Hawthorn and Richmond, so that's why they always get brought up.
But that would be the catalyst for maybe the turnaround, perhaps? The analysis of those and the learnings from those two matches, perhaps, do you think?
Yeah, and to be honest, with Doggies and Collingwood the last 2 weeks, we've sort of gone back a little bit.
Mm.
So the last 2 weeks, we've been able to look into what we did after Hawthorn and Richmond. So seems like every sort of 4 or 5 weeks, you'd be able to... Hopefully, we can just go 10 in a row from here on in. But there's going to be times when you have down performances and
yep.
you can really review that and get better.
Does the critiquing change now that there's greater expectation on this group?
I'm still not sure if there's greater expectation on us, especially from round one. Round one, there was probably the most expectation ever. I feel like it's almost gone down, which is good. But the group's really performed incredibly well in the smaller games this year, and unfortunately we've haven't played well in the Anzac Day Eve game or the Queen's Birthday game, so that's something we could probably work on going into especially the two Adelaide Oval games we got this year, so that's coming up, so they're big games and hopefully we can perform in them.
Do you, the sort of question from a different angle, do you think that other clubs are now critiquing you a little more forensically and really sort of trying to work out what are you doing well, and have you detected that in the last potentially couple of weeks?
I mean, if you're in the professional environment, you should be critiquing all teams, especially if you're coming up against them. But the teams we've lost to, for example, Collingwood and Richmond play very similar football and we've lost to them. So they've obviously done their homework on how we like to play and the way they play has been able to hold up. So that's something we've got to do next time we play Collingwood or Richmond or a team that plays similar football. You could take all 18 teams as much as each other.
Because we've been talking a bit in the last couple of weeks about Melbourne, about the clearance issues that you had against the Bulldogs, which didn't affect, obviously, the scoreboard, but certainly the Collingwood game, that maybe other clubs have been doing things differently against you in that sort of stoppage situation?
There's some different stuff going on. Collingwood, we just really let ourselves down. And to be fair to Collingwood, they really played some good football in there. So where Western Bulldogs threw a lot at us, we could probably put it on that. But Collingwood, our craft wasn't there. Intensity around the ball wasn't there. So that's probably why Collingwood smashed us. But Hawthorn and Richmond, we go back to it again. Those two losses were big clearance losses as well. And then we managed to have a little... sort of point in the road there and be able to go forward. So hopefully we can do that again.
Sorry, Jimmy, just on that way, just to pick up on that. Do you see yourself as the captain of the stoppages because you're the ruckman, or is that you've obviously got experience with Viney and Jones, your two club captains? Who's the one that sort of takes the responsibility and say, right, okay, we've got to do something different here because this is affecting our chance of winning?
Ruckman always seem to be able to say where they want to hit the ball, which is quite weird because midfielders should get a say. And our midfield's got two captains.
A lot
of chefs.
when it comes to the centre bounce, it seems to be my decision on where we go, which I don't know how that happened and why that landed on me, but which is good. But
you're the one that's got to get it there.
Yeah, but it's a very vocal midfield. So we got obviously the two skippers and they're skippers for a reason. So... and then I'm leadership group, and then Louis is the other leadership group member who is in and out of the midfield. So it can be a very talkative midfield, but it works well. It works well having that many voices and that many opinions, and being able to... We're getting better at being able to pick the right one.
See, because Cameron Ling was your captain of the footy team there for a while.
Yep.
Does that necessarily make him the architect of the stoppage?
Oh, he was certainly very good at it. He was even... From his early ages, Lingy was very good at coming to a stoppage and barking out orders. He was very comfortable in doing that because Lingy, often coming to a stoppage, had someone.
Just hanging off jumpers is all he was doing.
He was piggybacking him. Yeah, he put the big red clamps on. So he was able to set his position, and we wanted him to help set us because we're trying to help Lingy stop the best player. So often he'd...
It's almost like a reference.
He was our reference point. Yeah. So that's a great way of putting it. He'd come to the stoppage because normally he was fitter than the rest of us and we were all... the big guy could run. So he'd get there and go, look, there's the space. But then you'd swing straight around and Brad Otten's would just be quick little point. That's where it's going and away we went.
Well, that's the other reference. The other reference is where a ruckman can get the ball. So
yeah.
You can base it around where the ball's going or if Lingy's tagging where he's going to set up.
Yeah, so they were our two and... Yeah, we had Brad Ottens and Stephen King, who are very knowledgeable and very good ruckmen. So they were pretty honest. That's the point as well with your ruckman. You don't want, sorry, Max, some buff-headed ruckman who think, I'm going to win every hit out. And you go, you're not winning a single hit out here. We're not listening to you. But, Max, I wanted to ask you, you talked about reviewing and other teams reviewing. What are the good sides doing this year? Has it changed? And how can Melbourne improve after seeing these good sides doing it?
Probably hasn't necessarily changed. I feel like forward momentum and playing the ball in your forward half has been something that's been going on for a few years, but the best teams do it the best. So Richmond's ability, and they're wet weather specialists almost in a way, because they just keep surging the ball forward. Yep. And Colin would have brought that in this year with a little bit of speed up forward as well. So it seems to be how good you are at sort of strangling a team and keeping them in your forward half and then just surging the ball forward.
It's working pretty well for the Tigers. Did you watch the game on whenever that was, Sunday?
I won't be able to help.
No. That's all right. I wasn't looking for forensic analysis. I was just a random question. Well, take me back to Sydney then. What's the expectation for you guys when you have your break? Is there expectation to just shut down and do nothing, or are you supposed to be moving and doing stuff while you're on your break?
Most people who would be AFL players would hate to sit down for longer than 6-7 hours or do nothing anyway. So I think most people are going to go out there for a jog or a swim, and that's expected of them as well. So yep. There is a little program. Of course, I'm going to run topless down Bondi Beach. So I managed to definitely put that one in.
Well, but, wouldn't you?
And kick a footy to make sure your legs don't go, because it's, in the end, it's just 4 days off in the middle of the year. It's not Bali at the end of the season or anything like that. So we've got 10 or 11 more games to play this season, and hopefully get ourselves ready for some finals.
Do you feel fresher mentally or physically?
It never really affects me. I just take the 4 days because they're there. I'm not necessarily begging for the bye.
Yeah, okay. I'm surprised by that, I must say, considering your position and how hard you've worked and the time of on ground you play, that you were pretty good to go still.
Yeah, so I would have quite happily gone for the next 10 games, but I'll be careful what I say because the PA do want the bye and they're pushing for a second, so I'll make sure I pump it up.
Is that because you like routine, or is it that you have a much more balanced approach to life? Because I think a lot of guys feel that they need the mental break, is sort of what Half was alluding to, because of the intensity of being an AFL footballer. But is that because they take it maybe a bit too seriously, or...?
It's definitely more of a mental break for the people who are so footy-centric, and it's easy to be footy-centric, especially in your first couple of years. It's a full-time job, and it's written about in the media. It's talked about amongst your family and friends, so it's pretty crazy. But at my age and the amount of games that I've played, it's probably more the physical freshness, but... I didn't think I really needed it this year. But the mental break can come as well. But I didn't really get it because I probably have that better life balance.
If you've got a shot of Max top off on Bondi, send it through 0416 90 50 52.
Running slow-mo.
Running slow-mo. We've got the video of the slow-mo. The Baywatch style situation.
Life boy under the...
send it through. Max Gordon's joined us from the D's in the Prosper Inner Sanctum on the Breakfast Club. He'll be back after this. Stick around.
Exclusive access behind closed doors. The Breakfast Club's Inner Sanctum.
7:23 on a Tuesday morning. Still to come, Dane Zorko, the captain of the Brisbane Lions. Scotty Gallen with all the latest footy news. And Mike Clayton talking golf after 8 on the Breakfast Club before we hand over to Michael Falgate on Racing Pulse. But Max Gorn's in the Prosper Inner Sanctum from the D's today. And I'm sure he was very, very pleased to see that Richie Poor took out the Tour de Suisse.
How good's that?
Across the weekend, Max.
He said it was the best win of his career. And I'm guessing it probably was. The Tour de Suisse is up there with probably the one just under the 3 Grand Tours.
Yep.
So, and it's a great lead up to go into the tour. So, we're generally, without boring you, there's Australian hopes in every jersey for the Tour de France this year. So, Caleb Ewan is up there with the best sprinters in the world. Michael Matthews will win stages. The young fella Jack Haig could win the polka dot, the King of the Hill. And then,
do you think?
And then Richie Porte, because Orica don't really have a supported rider this year.
Yeah,
so
true.
If he's there, he'll be riding in the hills, which would be good.
So you're fully wound up. You're fully wound up for cycling season, Grand Tour season.
June 7. So there's a little bit of a break now. There's a lot of players go away and do their, a lot of riders go away and do their national champs.
Yep.
And then there's a tour.
Well, your first year out of footy, will you be one of those people who rides the tour? You know, they can ride either in front or behind it. Will that be something you do?
I've thought about it. I've also seen that there's other options like driving behind it, which I think suits me a little bit more.
Would you appeal a bit more?
The 200k stages up the Pyrenees doesn't really
entice me. But
you
really see those groups, I think they just like getting in Lycra, they don't ride
it. Yeah, correct. And I don't think they're 120 kilos as well. I think majority of them are around the 60, 70 mark, so it's a little bit easier to get up those hills.
Yeah, correct.
Power to weight, though, power to weight.
You're light, Max, this year, though. So
I am lighter this year. I mean, I'll probably be able to strip down to a cycling weight with the weight loss tactics I've got.
Just pass them on over here, would you? Some of those tactics. What about Port Adelaide this Friday night? Obviously, a very important game because they're travelling pretty well. What have you made of Port Adelaide season so far?
They are travelling well, and they obviously play Adelaide Oval incredibly well, and they play the big stage at Adelaide Oval incredibly well.
They
Friday night's another big stage for them, and very good ruckman, the reigning all-Australian ruckman, very good midfield. Charlie Dixon looks like he's on fire. The back line's going pretty well, so they're covering all things and beating some good teams along the way.
Paddy Ryder is a different ruckman to a lot of the others that you have to face, and obviously he's the reigning all-Australian ruckman. What makes him so challenging to ruck against?
And I think this is generally why he was rated as the best ruckman last year, is his tap work is probably the best, especially when he's up and going. So unfortunately, the Achilles injury has held him back, and he's slowly getting his way back, and he's probably best on ground maybe last week or the week before. So he's back to his best now, but we haven't really seen it this year. But centre bounce-wise, him and Nick Natanui are probably the two hardest to play, and it's just because, yes, they can jump, but they bring so much intensity with their jump that it is very hard to stop. Some guys who can jump, you can sort of push them off in the air, but you can't push them too off. So, where he can put the ball, he can put the ball at all 12 hours on the clock face. He can put it wherever he wants. So that's probably his real strength, and he's kicked some goals in the last few weeks as well, so he goes forward.
Does that not worry you, but are you always having to be aware of where he is because of his ability to get forward and hit the scoreboard? Is he sort of one, geez, where is he? You're sort of looking around over your shoulder as to where he's got to? Because he's very athletic as the way he plays his footy.
Yeah, correct. He's not probably your Todd Goldstein who's a running machine. He's more, he picks the right time to run, which is almost more dangerous because you know when he's running that there's generally going to be a ball going down his throat. So compared to Goldstein, who would just continually try and blow you up and do it that way, Paddy just explosive efforts at the right time and usually gets it right.
What's Simon Goodwin's usual message? Your big game, as we said, Port Adelaide, blockbuster, the crowd gets pretty pumped up. You know, they play the In Excess song. Is it the message, all right, we've got to absorb the pressure, or is it let's get really aggressive in the way we play the game?
It probably is absorbing the pressure. We've played three interstate games this year. I mean, we did play Gold Coast and the Gabba in front of 4,000, which probably isn't the same.
They were the coloured seats. So
not quite the same intensity.
I don't think that's the same one. But we have played three interstate games, and there's a thing about interstate games. You feel like you're together to get one thing. There's 22 players out on the field against a crowd that's yelling at you. So it's pretty exciting to play in, and it's a little bit different to your big game at the G. But we're very excited. We actually got a good record at Adelaide Oval. Won our last three there, including there was a Port Adelaide one in there. So we're pretty excited to get over there.
There's a few balls in the paddock through the middle, isn't there, in this case? You've got Wines and Powell Pepper and Jones and Vine and those sort of guys and the support cast, I suppose. There's some real balls around the contest. It's going to be a great contest.
I'm going to tap the ball and get out of the way. you don't want to get caught up in that. You'll get hurt.
Gentleman's agreement with Paddy.
Power Pepper is very similar to Jonesy and Vines, how hard he cracks in, and Ollie Wines and Vines are apparently best friends, but they fight every time they play, and then they've got Ebert, who's pretty hard at it, and Robbie Gray, every time he goes in there, seems to win a clearance, so it's right up there as one of the better midfields we'll come up against, and we've been testing the midfield for 2 weeks in a row, so you almost don't want anything more than come up against probably the best, and we got that this week.
You don't get many Friday night games. This is a great opportunity for you on the big stage. Is that spoken about as, oh, come on, this is a chance to show everyone what we can do, or it doesn't need to be spoken about because everyone knows the importance of Friday night footy and what that represents, I guess.
You're right with Friday night footy. As a player, I don't see Friday night footy the same as what the media do. I don't see it as this big, why is Carlton Western Bulldogs getting so many Friday night games? I don't see it that way. Fridays, we get the same on. We get Queen's Birthday. The Sunday Arvo game is the one that I watch the most. That's 3:20, which still gets almost the same broadcast viewing. So I don't see it as a big stage personally, but... you're right with how many Friday nights we do get. I debuted in a Friday night and have played one since. So that's 3 in 9 years. Mind you, I average 7 games a year, so I probably missed some in there.
What's happened there?
So, it will be good to get more Friday night games, but it doesn't necessarily play on my mind as we're not in the public eye.
And when you get to Adelaide Thursday?
Yeah, what day is it? Tuesday. Yeah, Thursday we get there, Thursday morning.
And are you a stay-in-your-hotel type fella, or are you out and about in the city, walking the streets, just doing stuff?
stay in the hotel for majority of it, but I do go out and get some brekkie the day of the game, nice and early, go have a little view of Adelaide. There's a few players that I used to play at D's that are in South Australia that I might go say hi to.
Yep.
Around game time. Not necessarily Watsy and Trenners. There is a couple that aren't playing for the opposition team as well that I might say hi to, but apart from that, I keep it pretty low-key.
It's a shame, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't look like Jack's going to play for Port. That would have been good. Would have been fun.
I think he's on a 5-day break, Sandful team, and so it's a bit disappointing. I was getting ready for... What's yours? I didn't know what I was going to do. I think in my head I thought I was going to belt him, but I don't think it would have worked out that way.
Don't do that, Max. If he plays, don't do that.
It's a shame, though, isn't it, for the game that he's not playing? I mean, he kicked 3 goals and had 20 possessions and did all that he was asked of in the SNFL after being dropped, but the 5-day break's going to make it difficult for him to play. And
yes.
I don't think there were any injuries from Port Adelaide to speak of. And they won so comfortably, it just doesn't look like it's going to happen.
I haven't really had many injuries this year. I've been following Jack Trengrove, watching him trying to get in. He's been emergency every week, and he's literally waiting for an injury. And he's had 8 weeks in a row of being emergency. So I don't think they're getting injured, apart from Wingard up forward.
Yeah,
I think that's been the only real one, and Paddy up in the ruck.
Well, it's one of the keys to surviving the season, isn't it? Healthy lists. Getting yourself in a position, which you guys have done, 8-4. It's been a pretty good start. And Friday night, hopefully, for your sake, it continues at the Adelaide Oval, 7:50 start. Check your local guides, Port Adelaide and the D's. Max, been great to have you in the Prosper Inner Sanctum. Appreciate your time. Good luck.
Thanks for having me.
Max Gawn from the D's with us every couple of weeks here on The Breakfast Club.